You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
DVD coming down the home stretch here during our 5 o'clock hour. Then we hand the baton to Connor Newt, who is poised behind the glass to take over at the 6.
Not today.
But not today. What are you, were they giving you Fridays off? What the heck?
No.
You've already hit too many hours earlier. Is that what happened? You had to do the morning show. You had to go to... What happened?
It's not my choice today.
What do you got?
Chase is going to sit down with a couple of political candidates, Marsha Blackburn and John Rose.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, that's coming up at 6 o'clock. That should be interesting. Okay.
So I've been overruled by the U.S. government.
There you go.
It happens. It happens sometimes, you know.
Hey, there's always the bigger fish.
But you can use the rest. You can use the rest.
But I'll be on tomorrow. Right.
So this will be the final hour of the week here on DVD. Coming up, we've got Ask D-Mace, and we're going to give you a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Cats as they take on the Michigan Arsenal Sunday at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville, the arena football semifinals. Cats win, they go to the championship game. So that's going to be a fun game. 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena. Best question for D-Mace at 5:20 gets the prize. But right now we're getting the text, and this is going to whet your appetite here. The debate, because we're just getting started. Final show in July. But the Big Ten has won the last 3 national championship games. We started asking this last year around this time of, hey, if they win again, is the SEC really the best football conference anymore? The Big Ten has a lot of bragging rights now with Indiana now joining the mix. So Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana, winners of the last 3. SEC is falling back. Snobs like me saying it's still the best, but they're beating each other up. The parity, the resources up and down the league is making it tougher to win a national championship. That's my take. But let's listen to Kurt Cignetti and what he had to say about Indiana and the Big Ten being the best conference.
And a lot of really good football teams. It's hard to win on the road. Very physical football teams, very well coached. It definitely prepares you for the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, we don't run a hype machine up here in the Midwest. We believe everything's earned, not given. And when we fall short, we say we fell short. We don't cry a river, whine, and complain. All right? And that's why we're the best.
For a moment, he sounded like Suge Knight up there. But it does harken back to, and listen, who does he really sound like? Nick Saban?
I mean, the pastor.
He sounds like what Nick Saban sound like in the past.
When the bravado of Steve Spurrier, a couple decades before that, when the SEC had all of the bragging rights and they could do that. I like it. I love the healthy interaction, the jabs back and forth. Thank goodness for Kurt Cignetti. He has done wonders.
Only thing that was missing was
football. From Kurt Saban. Yeah, exactly. You got to mix in a couple of those. But Cignetti is a quote machine, and that is awesome because, hey, we're the national champs of 2025, 27-2 the last 2 years. Remember way back when nobody had heard of him, he said, Google me. You'll see that I've won a lot. But he said, longest home winning streak in college football, longest winning streak in college football. You guys write the stories. I know Michigan's been around a long time, so is Ohio State, Southern Cal, Penn State, and there's others. But that had to do more with sustaining the success in the Big Ten. But here is the crux of the argument, and this is what I want to hear from some of you, the listeners. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. The argument for the SEC is, look, the top teams have not had their best years the last couple of years. But part of the reason is the week-in, week-out challenges. And now they're going to play 9 conference games and not 8. So I think it might even rear itself even more with the new format, because mm-hmm. you still have to play one of your non-conference games against a Power Four conference. Vanderbilt, for example, plays NC State. Tennessee plays Georgia Tech. It's a tough road, and I think the lower teams in the league are tougher outs in the SEC than the Big Ten. No matter how your schedule shakes out, because there's so many teams in these leagues and you only play nine conference games, you're going to have years where your schedule is tougher or easier. But it's much easier to have the lighter schedule in the Big Ten because of some of the teams I mentioned. They just haven't been very good in a while. UCLA, Rutgers, Maryland, Purdue, just to name a couple. The bottom five or six in an 18-team league are not as good as the bottom five or six in the SEC. Now, let's get to a couple texts people have already taken issue with me. Robert in Nashville says, our last place teams are better than your last place teams. It's a lame SEC fan perspective. Your team needs to quit whining and put in the work. Try being humble in both wins and losses instead of showboat in your victories and crying over your losses. I don't know if Robert is like related to Kurt Cignetti or that was like a burner for Kurt Cignetti. But okay, but that's the, I mean,
buddy, I mean,
the Big Ten has been taking the punishment for a long
exactly.
time, and now they're punching back.
The conversation was never about, you know, when it came to the SEC, it was never about, oh, our bottom teams are better than your bottom teams. It was never about that. It was always about championships, right or wrong. It was about championships. Now, all of a sudden, y'all want to make it about bottom teams? Like, really? Practice?
But it's
bottom
it's
teams?
It's still part of it.
Really?
It's part of
bottom
the
teams?
Yes.
When that was not ever the argument by the SEC. When y'all were winning championships.
Because this is a new era. With the playoffs,
oh
you got to win all these games. It's not you don't just get to the final four.
Well, the Big Ten got to win those same games.
It's an easier road.
Not when you get in the playoffs.
Yes, but I think it's easier to get a higher seed when you've had an easier road. Because I still don't think the SEC has gotten credit for the strength of schedule. But that's another thing that I think has to be worked out over the coming years.
Texas had an opportunity to do something about it. And they didn't, right? At the beginning
right.
of the season.
They lost.
Yeah. Okay. So
they lost to Ohio State.
Yeah. So at the end of the season, you had opportunities where your conference could have represented you in the number one slot. But when you had that opportunity, I know Texas, they started off slow. They end up, picking up steam toward the end of the year and finishing out really well. But had you won against Ohio State, maybe I would have had a number one seed in the college football playoffs.
All right. This is an SEC snob texting here. He did not leave his name. So let's just call him snob number two because he is backing me up here. This might be a slight exaggeration here. By the way, you can join in by calling or texting 615-737-1025. The Big Ten has 14 cupcake teams in their league. No wonder their teams are able to make it to the playoffs and do so well. 14 might be a little exaggeration, but he's backing me up on this. He goes, look at it this way. No one wants to watch any game that Ohio State plays all year until they get to the playoffs because it's an easy road. Now, Ohio State has always been the one, and Kurt Cignetti called them Goliath, mm-hmm. and they're going to be really good again this year. They've got Jeremiah Smith. They've got their quarterback back. What's Sand's first name? I forget.
Julian
Sand. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. I mean, they're starting off. I mean, they reload as well as anybody. They've got the big payroll, all of that. But and by the way, Ohio State announced that they are going to put a sponsor on their jerseys. And guess how much they're getting from that sponsorship to put
about,
a patch on their jersey?
About a mil, 2 mil.
$17 million.
Woo!
$17 million.
Man.
To put so. As if they were having trouble paying their players before. So now they just a little 17 mil check mm-hmm. to put a little logo on the jersey. Wow. 615-737-1025. Agreed 100% that Cignetti sounds like Saban. And it's about being more competitive top to bottom and not being able to lose to an underdog and still make the playoffs. I still think that is something that's being adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Remember how hot I got about Vanderbilt in that picture, right? Trying to argue of the week in, week out toughness of the schedule. And again, this might be just my SEC perspective inflating the value of a win, say, at Tennessee that Vanderbilt got. Remember, there was that whole thing of, well, Vanderbilt doesn't have a quality win. But winning at Tennessee that knocked Tennessee's record down to 8-4, I believe. Mm-hmm. Tennessee is not your ordinary 8-4 team, especially winning in Knoxville. So I still think that the committee has trouble calibrating strength of schedule. And I think there's something about an atmosphere. The atmosphere at winning at Tennessee or even in Starkville at Mississippi State is not the same as winning at Maryland.
But again,
once or at
you,
Purdue.
I get it. But once you get in the playoffs.
The playoffs is a different story. I have no comeback for the playoffs.
But my thing is, the committee, they would rather have an 8-5 SEC team than a 8-5 Big Ten team or a 7-5 SEC team than a 7-5 Big Ten team. So whoever they choose to put into the playoffs, once you're in the playoffs, now you got to play. But even if you look at, because again, this is what the SEC was arguing about, why we are the best conference. Not only are we winning championships, we're winning bowl games too. Look at what we're doing across the board. And I grant it, I get it. Bowl games is a little bit different now. Some guys are taking off. I understand all that. But let's not forget about that now. Because the Big Ten has totally dominated the SEC when it comes to actual bowl games, too. But
and that wasn't
no
the case
one,
for a long
exactly,
time.
That wasn't the case. But now you don't want to make that a part of the argument. You would just want to say, oh, our top end, our bottom end is better than your bottom end. When we start arguing bottom ends, we got a problem.
I do think that it's becoming a tougher argument. It used to be that the Big Ten fans in this area used to have to just kind of just take it. Because there was a time you heard a lot of, well, you know, the Big Ten in the bowl games, they've got to go down to Florida. They tend not to have the crowd advantage. There were a lot of justifications why they were struggling in a lot of those Big Ten SEC head-to-head bowl game matchups. But now as it's evolved, and you, like you said, it's not nearly as much about how do your teams do in the bowl games. Mm-hmm. It's what are your teams doing in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And since the playoff has come in, there's no question that the Big Ten has flourished in this system. And I'm wondering how much of it is the journey. It's a game of attrition now. It's depth. It's being able to win extra games. Mm-hmm. So getting to the finish line is huge. So what does the SEC do internally, each team, as they look and say, okay, what's the best way to win a championship in this era and not just win the SEC and then you got to win two more games? Now it's, hey, do you want to be in the SEC championship game? Mm-hmm. Maybe not. If we're, you know, maybe you have to win one less game by getting into the playoffs but not making it. Mm-hmm. And how many teams are going to be in the playoff in the coming years? So it's a new era. Matt texts in and says, this is such an SEC homer station.
I'm the Big Ten guy.
I know. You're representing.
Yes.
He said, if Saban wouldn't have coached Alabama, then what? Before Saban and Saban, not a lot of noise from the conference right now.
I mean, there were LSU was winning with Saban. Spurrier was winning. So, I mean, I will give it up. The SEC had a stranglehold on college football, you know, when you're talking about championships for a bit there. But the tables have turned. And, you know, now the Big Ten has a stranglehold on college football in terms of championships won. So
I'm curious, too. A big piece to this for the Big Ten going forward is can USC ever get back to what they have been as a powerhouse? Oregon, we think, is there. Oregon, people think, is going to be really good.
Well, they're still competing. They still win 10, 11, 12 games.
No doubt. They're really good. We think Indiana is going to be very good again. Mm-hmm. They'll have to prove it. Ohio State, you can mark down. And now Michigan has the quarterback that's had a year under his belt. Mm-hmm. They should be really good. So the top end of the Big Ten looks solid. But then what do those next teams look like? Like if USC gets back into the mix – and if UCLA could ever get going, they've been at the bottom at all kinds of times. But I still think the depth of the SEC is way better than the depth of the Big Ten. And on the other side of the coin, does the SEC have that championship-level team this year? That remains to be seen. Here are some other texts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's not forget Illinois played Tennessee in Nashville. It was practically a home game for Tennessee, and the Big Ten looked awfully good in that. I don't know.
But again, when you have an opportunity to play against each other, what are you going to do?
I still don't think Illinois scares people. Like, if you have to play at Illinois, mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's the same as having to play at the equivalent in the SEC.
Well, it depends on, again. are we playing in November, late November?
Year in and year out. If you just blindly said, I'm going to spin a wheel, I got to go play at this. There's just not as many places that would intimidate you as there is in the SEC. The texter says, I got your back, nerd. I guess he's referring to me. So SEC, he says, like, he's got my back. What do the ratings say? I bet all Big Ten fans are watching SEC games over Big Ten games. Well, there's an SEC snob approach.
I mean, if you're up north, you're watching majority Big Ten teams or ACC teams. Now, majority
he
of the people.
He admits he's a troll, this guy that's texting.
Oh, okay, there we go.
But still.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, there's no way to, I guess there is a way, but I don't think there's any numbers to determine that. And if there is, Adam's not here to get them, so we're not going to worry about him right now.
Texter from Jolton says, my boys in the maize and blue will be bringing another natty home to Ann Arbor this year. Hail to the victors. What say you, Mr. Spartan?
Nah.
And Vogue had a song about this, remember?
Yeah, I'm not going to even subscribe to that one. You know.
Okay. So you're just going to leave that there.
You know me. Okay.
Do you think Michigan State will be better this year? They had a bad year.
That's why I asked Mitch that question. Now, Hall, one of their linebackers, he chose to stay. They got a recruit out of Auburn, a linebacker. I think he's a linebacker out of Auburn. So their linebacker crew may just be the strength of their team. But how is Fitzgerald going to do, having such a long layoff? How can he get this program back on the right track? Because over the last years, they have fallen off. I mean, they had a stint there where they were competing and winning games, but then it just started to go downhill.
When we come back, we want to keep that text line going, that phone line going, because it'll be Ask D-Mace. We've got some good questions for him, and we've got an incentive for you. You can ask D-Mace anything. You want to ask him about the Titans, some of the wide receivers. If you want to ask him about life or movies or things like that, you could do that as well. But the best question, you can even ask him about the Big Ten and the SEC. We can continue this discussion. But the best question for D-Mace is going to get four tickets to the Nashville Cats playoff game. It's the Final Four, if you will, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville. So jump on in there, 615-737-1025. You can win by asking D-Mace a good question. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of DVD. Back here on DVD, I'm focused as we get into some Ask D-Mace here. You can ask D-Mace some of his favorite selections from the jukebox here. He has selected these and tried to stump me on what year these number one hits topped the charts back in the day.
You know about Mariah Carey. Come on. I'm going to give you a clue. You want a clue?
Yeah, I do want a clue. Because this is
early 2000s.
I was going to say, because early Mariah Carey would be early 90s, which I think is her best stuff.
Agreed.
I loved her stuff there. I mean, I can go deep in the library, her first couple.
But we're talking about Billboard number one songs. That's it. Early 2000s.
What's the name of that song?
We Belong Together.
Okay. 2005.
There you go, Willie.
Yes.
There you go.
Bam! From half court, Willie Donick banks it in.
That was a Steph Curry three right there.
Yes. That was tough.
That was a Mike Breen bang, as he says.
Yes. Bang. All right. Time for some Ask D-Mace. We've got a lot of things that we've hit on today that have been fun. Right up D-Mace's alley, we've talked about the Titans wide receivers as a unit. Steve Smith, very optimistic about Daboll and the new guys with Wandale Robinson and Carnell Tate. He likes the chemistry. He thinks it's going to be a lot better. We've talked SEC, Big Ten. The heated rivalry now at the top with the Big Ten having won the last three. But you can ask D-Mace anything, and the best question is going to get four tickets to watch the Cats go for a berth in the AFL, the Arena Football League Championship game on Sunday. Four tickets for the best question. 615-737-1025. Gino says SEC wins championships, and when they did, they would make fun of the Big Ten and the Pac-12 for talking about the depth of conference in nine games, and they beat everybody up. Now the SEC isn't winning championships. Now we're supposed to listen how deep the SEC is and crying about the nine-game conference schedule. You lose me on that noise. That's all it is.
Man, I love it. I love it. I love it. And I root for the SEC. You know, I can't. I mean, I'm here, and I love Vandy, and, you know, I like the Vols. And Memphis is not an SEC team, but I like Memphis. But, you know, Coach Saban was my coach at Michigan State, so I'm still partial to Alabama. I like what Kirby Smart's doing at Georgia. So I like the SEC as a whole, but I'm a Big Ten guy.
Another Matt. We have a lot of Matts texting in on the text line today. As a representative of the Big Ten, I still would rather watch Vanderbilt versus Arkansas than Rutgers versus Purdue. See, that is still the lone argument that's out there that SEC fans like me are clinging to.
But again, it's not about what you would rather watch. It's about who you watching on championship, whatever day that is.
And it was
National Championship
an SEC
Day,
team.
Whatever that day is.
Ole Miss went down.
So everybody is watching a Big Ten team.
Yeah, the SEC teams did not do so well. Andrew in Murfreesboro has an Ask D-Mace. What about Keldrick Falk and his performance so far amongst the rookies? What are you seeing? I feel like I have not heard much about him. I think that's a fair point. This guy was a first-round pick, but not hearing much about him.
And it's hard right now, I think, because there are no pads on. So I think you'll start to really, you know, again, see guys sort of show who they are or sort of come out of their shell. I'm sure Keldrick Falk is still learning the defense, and they're rotating those guys in so much, you know, to try to give them a feel of what's going on. So I'm sure eventually you'll start to hear about Falk, but I think like a lot of other rookies outside, the only rookie you're really hearing about is Carnell Tate. You know, you're not hearing about the other rookies, and rightfully so. He was the fifth pick in the draft. Fourth, excuse me. But I think Keldrick Falk, once they put on the pads, I think he'll start showing more of why they drafted him, you know, why they moved up in the first round to get him.
And I like that they're not putting him in a position right now with their depth at that position. It's scary to think they actually have a little bit of depth on the defensive line, that if he could just be a good, talented, rotational guy, that could be a good start for him, and maybe he grows from there. A lot of text for D-Mace here. Troy has this. Which jersey would you rather wear, D-Mace? A scarlet and gray jersey or a maize and blue jersey? Without naming names of who, what teams we're talking about here.
I would rather wear Michigan State jersey, okay? But of course I'm going to say Ohio choices. State. I don't want to wear any. No.
How do you know he wasn't talking about Rutgers?
He wasn't talking about Rutgers. And I wouldn't wear that color either because it's too close to the other color. So, no.
What about Ball State?
No, still wouldn't do it. Still wouldn't do it.
Have you ever had to wear a red uniform?
No. Red in it, yes. A little red. But never a full red. But well, like the Houston red. Texans, they it was some red in there. So, yeah. I think we did wear the red jerseys when I was there for that brief stint. Hmm. People are probably like, you were the Texans?
Number 82.
Yes, there we go. See, Connor knows. So I would never. I mean, I told my son, because he's applying for med school, and he applied to Michigan. I said, listen, man. And he got a secondary back, so he got sent off some more stuff. I said, I will be there for you. I will champion you as a father, and I will be there, but I will never wear those colors. Never. I will never wear a Michigan hat. Never. I will come support you. And, you know, in turn, I got to support the university through financials. But outside of that, no, you ain't going to see me wearing those colors.
I have seen that with some friends of mine that went to Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. and for one reason or another are in Nashville. Either their family's from Nashville before, or they settled in Nashville post-college, and their kids end up going to Tennessee. Uh-huh. That's always a little dilemma. that can create some dilemma. Here's one on our text line, a little more on the serious note. My name is John, and John is going through a bit of a rough patch. He has mm-hmm. a question for you, D-Mace. As a successful pro athlete, how did you bounce back from setbacks? It takes a lot of fortitude to handle losses. As an athlete, you might have a unique outlook. Mm-hmm. Go Titans. So how do you bounce back when things are tough?
First and foremost, it was prayer for me. And then, you know, just understanding, because Chris Sanders told me this a long time ago, control what you can control. You know, go into whatever situation you're in or coming out of it. Go in it with an attitude of joy. And I know every situation isn't the same, and I know there can be some tough situations out there. But if you attack that day with joy and attack that day with a sense of, you know, pride, and I'm going to do this, like, I think more times than not, you will start to see. It may not happen right away, but I think you start chipping away at things. But because if you – and listen, there's always going to be a time where you need to sort of, you know, pity yourself. There's a time where you got – where you just, okay, yeah, take that time out, but don't sit in it too long. Don't. Because everybody has to have that grieving process. Grieve it, but try not to sit there too long, because if you sit there too long, you'll get used to that. So grieve when you can. And then as you're coming out that grieving, you got to make that next step a positive step, because I don't care what you've been through. If you don't go into the next day positive, you're not going to accomplish or come close to accomplishing what you want to accomplish.
Great stuff. 615-737-1025. This is Ask D-Mace. We're going to extend this into the final segment of the show. We got a lot of people with Good Friday questions. Here's one. And it's funny that Justin texted this, because I had a good conversation. My cousin, she is an outstanding golfer, and mm-hmm. she was playing in a pro tournament here at the Hermitage, and she did very well, by the way. And a couple of her friends were hanging out with us, and my son, Mahoney. We were talking about feelings that you have when you're warming up and you feel really good. You're like, mm-hmm. I'm in the zone. I'm going to be awesome today. And how often in a warm-up, mm-hmm. that is a precursor to how you play in the game and how much it maybe can tease you. Or the other way, mm-hmm. you have a bad warm-up, and you're like, oh, man. But then you go out and everything's fine.
Yeah.
So Justin's question related was, D-Mace, was there ever a game you guys went into just knowing you were going to blow somebody out? And it didn't matter what happened around you, just knew you were going to win. How often did you have that feeling, and how often was it true?
I think there were games. Now, I can't, you know, name like specific games, but I think there were games where, as a team, because you always want to walk in confident as a team. Because you feel you prepared enough, you've done the right things, you're healthy for one, and that you're going to go out there and get the job done. But then you go out there and you still may get the job done, but it just may be a little bit more difficult than what you had planned. And typically that's how it goes, where you plan one thing and it's like, man, it's even worse, or, man, this is a physical battle. But, I mean, yeah, there have been games too where we've walked out there and everybody's, you just feel the energy in the locker room. Then you feel it on the field. You just, it's just, you. It's almost like the what you call it song. Why am I forgetting his song? I can feel it coming.
Phil Collins,
yes. It's almost like, seriously, it's
yeah.
almost like
that. I used to listen to that song
like,
before every game.
Exactly. It's like, and Ray Lewis would play that song. That was like, because a lot of times he had control of, you know, the songs.
In the locker room?
Not necessarily in the locker room, but for warm-up. Like, we would want to hit one of his songs. And that would always be the last song played by Phil Collins. And majority of the times, you could just feel it. Like, when he said, you could feel it in the air, you feel it in the air. It's just like, especially when you're playing the Steelers or you're playing the Titans, it's just like you just feel that in the air. And when you feel it, it's like, oh, man, it's going to be a good day.
What about individually? Could you tell how you were going to play from a warm-up, or were you not worried if you had a bad warm-up or a good warm-up?
No, I was a creature of habit. So if one thing was sort of off, it was like, okay, how do I adjust myself? Because as a player, you don't always come out, 100%. And it may be because you're dealing with an injury, or whatnot. Or it can be anything, because you try to block those things out. But, again, you come on the field, there have been times, again, where I was like, man, I just don't feel right. Like, I'm too tight. Like, my pants don't feel right. Like, I just don't feel right. Like, and then you just hope that it's a feeling and not actually what is going to happen on the field.
As a dad, I got to where I didn't want to watch my kids warm up, because I didn't want to think, oh, man, she's going to be awesome in goal today. She caught everything. Or, oh, man, she missed a couple. This is going to be – I didn't want to know what
you
happened
didn't
want to, in
yes.
the warm up, because I didn't want that to influence me, because – It's a really interesting question of do you warm up? Does that have anything to do with what happens in the game, good or bad? All right, when we come back, we'll have another round of calls. We got a lined up for D-Mace. People love D-Mace, and they want to go see this Cats playoff game on Sunday afternoon. 615-737-1025. Our final segment of the show on DVD is coming up. Ah, yes. The Boys to Men. Now,
you got to know this one, Willie.
I'm going to be right in the neighborhood here.
Come on,
again,
Willie.
It's precise. I got to be precise. These are all mega hits that we've been trying to answer for 3 hours. I've done pretty well.
Yes,
not,
you have.
Not lights out. There were some tough ones. We had one or two misses within a year, and this is going to be the key on this one. I know this is early 90s. The Boys to Men coming on the scene.
Come on, you Kyrie Irving with 30 seconds left with the Clippers. Like, I mean, with the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, that's right.
Come on.
But it wasn't this wasn't their first song. It was one of them. Mm-hmm. But like,
I think this was
one of their biggest
80s.
Ones. This is one of their biggest ones.
Motown Philly was like the one that had them burst on the scene. I feel
absolutely.
Like that was 92. The question is, did this hit in 92 or 93? It's all like school years to me. Like I know exactly where I was. I was living off campus, senior year at Vanderbilt, 92-93, so it's one of those 2 years. I'm pretty confident.
You think, Willie?
I'm going to say that this hit number one in 93. What? 92?
91.
91?
Yes.
Come on.
What are you talking about? Come on, Willie. This was on the Billboard number one in 1991, Willie. I'm telling you.
That is a terrible
Willie,
way to
as
end
a matter of fact, I'm about to tell you exactly. This was. No, Willie, you're right.
Wait, so you 92. Gave bad info?
It was. I got fat. I gave you bad
me.
Info.
Blame
yes.
him.
All right, 92. You're right, Willie.
I still got it wrong because I said 93.
You said 93, but your second answer was right.
But this was at
92.
The top of the charts in 92?
92.
Okay, I
Billboard,
feel a little bit
yes.
better because that was the wrong year. I'm putting myself back in the wrong
August
time
15th, 1992 was when it first arrived on the Billboard 100 as number one.
As number one.
Yes. And it lasted through November 7th, 1992, okay. Which means it was 13 weeks. It was number one. It
don't
was
get on
hit.
Me. That was on D-Mace.
Okay. I'm sorry, Willie. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You were close. I got to give you that one.
I was
one
close.
I'm going to give you that one.
But I still was wrong. Like
I got to give you that one.
Horseshoes. What's the horseshoes and hand grenades?
Hand grenades, yeah.
All right, let's get back to Ask D-Mace. We've got some great questions down the home stretch here for the Cats tickets here. We've had some really good ones so far. Let's see. Mo says, hey, D-Mace, when you played, which cornerback were you afraid to go up against or did not want to play in the NFL?
None of them. None of them. I wanted
it
to go against
like Dan
everybody.
Somebody said, are you scared? Yeah, the defense? Like, scared?
Scared? No.
No, like, there were asking.
There were some guys that were more challenging than others, but, I relished on the opportunity to be out there with the top corners. I was upset somewhat because I didn't get to face Deion Sanders in his prime. Because you always want to try to measure yourself up against the, whoever the best defensive backs you say that are out there. So, you know. But nah, there was never a defensive back that I was scared to go against.
Texter says, Derek, what did you prefer more? A quarterback who would give you chances with tight coverage or a quarterback who would throw you open but sometimes into a tight spot?
I mean, either. It didn't matter, either one. Because our thing, you know, I've said this before, wherever the ball is, you got to go get it. And our job is to make, when the quarterback isn't completely accurate and on point, we got to make him look good. And as if he was accurate and on point at every turn. So either one, you know, but I guess if I would lean, I would rather, you know, come out of my break and the ball be on me than, you know, him throwing me to a spot, even though sometimes, you know, it all depends on the catch and run, your ability to catch the ball and then run after that. But I usually like to lie. As soon as I come out of my break, I want it on me.
Another texter says, D-Mace, would you like to see the SEC and Big Ten play each other more during the regular season rather than play 9 conference games?
I would rather there are more games, you know, for both of those conferences, especially now. Because that's going to always be the debate back and forth, is which conference is better. And obviously the Big Ten has a hold on that right now. But if you can get some of these mid-tier teams or, you know, even some of the good teams to play more often during the regular season, I think that would be, you know, better theater for television, I tell you that.
We have time for a couple more questions. 615-737-1025. This is Ask D-Mace. The best question, and it's all subjective. Mm-hmm. We'll get 4 tickets to go see the Cats in their playoff game on Sunday afternoon against Michigan, D-Mace's home state.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they wear maize and blue. I don't know what the color of the arsenal is, but hopefully it's green and white at least.
Yeah. Go green.
Go white.
Good texter here says, and no name, I think he put a previous text to our station, Joe. So let's call him Joe, whether that's his name or not. Do you have a good Champ Bailey story?
I remember going up to, we played Denver when I was here. We went up to Denver. It was a Monday night. And this is when Champ, you know, he's always been great at what he does. He's one of the greatest defensive backs that ever played the game. But, you know, that was the whole week to match up against Champ Bailey and, you know, us game planning for that. And that was one of those, you know, situations where I went in wanting this matchup because he was the best corner and I was coming into my own as one of the best receivers in the league. And it was just a constant battle back and forth. I think I got the better part of that in Denver, and I think we did play here the next following year, and I end up getting the better part of that as well. So, you know, when I've had to play against some of the best, I fared pretty well. But then there are other times where, you know, I couldn't, you know, pretty much do anything because of, you know, their ability to match my routes or their ability to, you know, be on their game.
Tons of text today, but let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. T-Mac is on the line. T-Mac, thanks for waiting. What do you got for D-Mace today?
All right. What is the difference between the pressure of the playoffs and the Super Bowl versus the regular season? Because, you know, you see so many teams go to the playoffs, and it seems like the pressure, I mean, you can even just feel it from sitting at home on the couch and watching it, that the pressure of playoffs or the Super Bowl is too big. Mm-hmm. We're like, what is it about the pressure of the playoffs and the Super Bowl is so much different than the regular season? And how do you think teams like, you know, the New England, the Tom Brady's and the Bill Belichick's were able to master that so much? I hang up and listen.
Thanks, T-Mac.
Thank you, T-Mac. It's just like anything else. If I gave you unlimited chances to make 5 free throws, there's no pressure. No pressure whatever. I'm giving you unlimited. Just shoot until you make 5. There's no pressure. But if I tell you, you got 10 shots to make 5.
Then it gets a little tougher.
Then it gets a little tougher. But then I tell you, you got 6 shots to make 5. It gets really tougher. But then what if I say if I got – I already give you five shots to make five baskets. That's the Super Bowl.
The most pressure I ever – you know, always at the end of a game if the game's close. But one thing our coaches used to do sometimes would be line everybody up on the end line. You choose one person to shoot the free throw.
Yes.
If you make it, nobody runs. If you miss it, everybody runs. So you know that your team –
Depends on you. Yes.
Yeah, you got to run extra if you miss that. You know, so the stakes.
Yeah, the stakes are higher, and the teams that consistently find themselves in that situation, one, they're prepared for that situation, and like my man Bain said, listen, I've got accustomed to the dark. I love the dark. They've got accustomed to being in those situations. They love being in those situations where this is going to tell whether you are able to sink, me are able to swim or sink, one or the other. And when you get comfortable in situations like that, man, more times than not, you're going to be able to win tight games like that. And New England was always in situations like that during the playoffs, and they managed to win them.
Here's a good one from Josh. D-Mace, I'd be like a fangirl if I met you. Who would you be starstruck if you met a celebrity? Is there a celebrity that jumps out?
Oh, I'd be.
Or maybe it's already happened to you someday. Were you ever starstruck meeting somebody?
Starstruck. I'm not going to say starstruck, but I am going to say sort of like, it's just like that feeling. It's like my palms getting sweaty a little bit. It happened. It happened twice. It happened. Oprah Winfrey was here. This was a long time ago.
Wow.
And I think the movie Ray came out. This is when the movie Ray came out. Because Chris's son was in the movie, CJ.
Yeah.
When he was
Chris
a little
Sanders,
kid. Yeah. Chris Sanders.
Friend of the show?
Absolutely. So we all went to the theater and
Forever
she was
Titan.
There.
Yeah.
And came out and I shook her hand and said, hello, Miss. It's like, okay. Then you kind of, but then
Bumbling
the other time was Jerry Rice. Like, because I had watched Jerry Rice, like, and I end up, like, actually. Like meeting him and talking to him for a second at one of these signings, these big signings. Mm-hmm. And it was like I was a kid, like, oh, this Jerry Rice. Like, oh, man, it's the GOAT. So those are the two times.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I want to thank our listeners today because we had some great questions. That was a tremendous session for Ask D-Mace. And I want to tell everybody, as we end up July, and when we get back on Monday, we're going to be full throttle. Adam will be back with us. We'll be at full strength, and we'll be in August. We're going to be in the month where the games start happening, and we'll be counting down to another fall. School's going to be back in there. It is going to be full throttle. We want you to join us every day.
And there's a game Sunday.
There's actually a game on Sunday.
There's actually a game on Sunday, people.
Okay, and D-Mace, let's just finish the week by just giving people a little bit of advice. Don't bet on the game on Sunday.
Yes,
I know you're
don't.
Excited there's a game. If you like to do the wagering, that's your thing. But you really, really are thinking and excited to bet on the Hall of Fame game, you might need to check yourself.
Yes,
a little bit.
Exactly.
Just check yourself. That's all I'm asking. It's a free country. You can do what you want.
Do what you want.
Just look yourself in the mirror one time before you hit that send button.
Exactly. Hold the funds in your pocket for a little while.
I think there are going to be a lot of points scored this weekend. Let's do it. Oh, boy. All right. So, everybody have a great weekend. We're back with you on Monday. We'll resume our Titans coverage, and we will be full strength.
Be loved. Love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team loves you. Hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. We'll be back on this airwaves, like Willie said, at full strength, getting ready for the season, and we will have more to talk about with the Tennessee Titans. And as I always say, we're going to be talking, and
you're going to be listening.
Peace.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.